You're listening to For All the Saints, a ministry of All Saints Church, a community of faith on the campus of New Covenant Schools in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm Jeremy Rowe. The Anglican way of faith and discipleship approaches our spiritual formation in a textured way. There is, of course, daily prayer directed by our prayer book, but there are also the disciplines of faith, such as works of charity, almsgiving, and fasting. Each week and on feast days, we celebrate the Eucharistic liturgy in which we become active participants in the passion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is also the weekly sermon, which is central to our life in Christ. Together with the sacrament of Holy Communion, the preaching of God's Word is the way we receive Christ and His gift of life. At All Saints, this ministry is shared by our ministers, Father Davidson Morse and Father John Heaton. In today's recording, we join Father Davidson in progress.
I wish you all a happy new year. It is the turning of the year, and I see so many of my beloved theology students, both past and present, and perhaps even some future theology students waiting for me out there in the pews. And they always puzzle when I demand that they learn these lessons that begin with, Advent is the beginning of the year. They want it to be January, and of course that is the secular new year, but the truth of the church that we proclaim as loud as we can is that now Jesus is the King, not in some far-off place, but He is King here in this place, even now. And so we proclaim, as we have been singing with me in these opening hymns, that Jesus is the King. He has overthrown all of the powers that stood against Him. Yes, Satan and death and the grave, but all nations now take their place bowing down before Him. And so it is right for us to say that now as we await His coming here in the season of Advent, that we proclaim a new year. It is His time. It is His earth, and it is His kingdom. And so we proclaim the King in Advent season. And of course, the secular world is right to look at a new year as a time to turn over a new leaf. And you should. You should turn over a new leaf to make a new year's resolution, whatever that may be. And of course, it usually relates to something about diet, but I would offer to you that perhaps a devotion, redevoting yourself to the church and the practice of your own faith, to prayer, to increase your love of the Lord, our Savior Jesus. All of these things stand before us as goals and objects of the Christian life. And so we turn over a new leaf. We make New Year's resolutions and we count down until Jesus comes again. Oh, no, I don't expect Him to show up tomorrow, but we should be ready when He does. But of course, we have ways of counting time. I always look forward to the Advent wreath, and I hope that you do too, not only to get it here in its all of its majestic beauty hanging from the rafters, but the ladies of the Altar Guild always making it more beautiful with a wreath as well. And so in this busy time of the church year, I always want to thank the Altar Guild as well. They make it possible for the priests of the parish to do their jobs and to do it well. So thanks to the Altar Guild for their devotion to the Lord and to the church. But yes, we count in Advent, and you can do that in lots of wonderfully tasty ways as well. Go get a Advent calendar with chocolates behind each window. Do that. The priest tells you to, you should go do it. Go get an Advent calendar for everybody. Maybe two for mommy, because it's going to stress her out. Christmas, she needs to have a time of joy too. So on the way home, go by Walmart or your favorite place and get an Advent chocolate calendar. But also, I would propose to you that this is a time to develop your own devotion in the Anglican way, which is to read the lessons that are appointed for the Anglican, for the Advent season each day, each morning and evening, if only to read the evening lesson as you eat that piece of chocolate. Maybe I can, here's the stick and the carrot. There it is, right there. So I'm going to publish to you this afternoon on the email. Look for that email from me. I will publish the lectionary for the evening, just to encourage you, just to take that brief time with your wives, your husbands, your children, to keep up with the Advent story as we go along together in this beautiful season of Advent. No, it's not Christmas. It has its own theme, the proclamation that Jesus is indeed King. And it is a very, very ancient time as well. The Eucharistic lessons that we read through the season date all the way back to the 400s AD, largely unchanged. We have read with the church for 1,500 years these same lessons as we prepare for the coming of Christ at his birth. These lessons that we read together, as we did just now from Paul's letter to the Romans, and then again hearing how it is that Jesus came into his capital city to lay claim to the kingdom, each one refer to one another, building and interpreting each other, a logical development of thought from one week to the next. And so this Sunday, we focus upon how it is that the King has come, and that he has delivered unto the nations a new law. Next Sunday, we will meditate upon how God has given to us his word. And I will leave that until next week. But each one of the Gospels, each one of the epistles point to the other to give us a deeper understanding of how it is that God has made all things new in the coming of his Son. You see then that the intention of the season of Advent is to prepare us, not simply for Christmas. I know that you guys want to get to Christmas as fast as you can, and that's okay. But I want you to understand that the Advent season wants us to think about how it was that, yes, he did indeed come the first time, but we look with hope and anticipation to his coming in glory in his second coming. In the present, he comes to us in the words of the church. He comes again to us at the end of time in judgment. And each moment of our lives, we look forward in anticipation. It's so often the case that we are tempted to fear the coming of the Lord at the end. But no, the scriptures teach us that Christians who have been given the gift of the Spirit, who have been joined into the body of the faithful, that is the church, we should look with hope the coming of our Lord Jesus. So we say that the spiritual coming of God here in the midst of time is its own advent. We receive, not only in the life of the church, the giving of the Spirit, the guiding and directing, the forgiving, the accusing, the enlivening Spirit. That Spirit guides us in the midst of our lives day by day, in its own small advent as well. So here we have the season of Advent, and today we stand with the crowds and we proclaim, we shout, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the one who has come as King. And that may puzzle us, because we know this gospel lesson, but we know it as the Palm Sunday lesson. And doesn't that confuse the season altogether? I mean, Palm Sunday is the opening of Holy Week, when Jesus has come to die and rise again. And yet, here in this time, we are anticipating his birth. Is the church confused or perhaps confusing? No, I don't think so. Here we proclaim that Jesus has come, as the prophets said he would, and not simply to fulfill the prophets, but to take up the rule. He is the King, as he was proclaimed by his own people and even proclaimed by Pilate himself. See, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But you see then that this is a foreshadowing of a second and his final coming to judge the world in justice and in goodness and righteousness. Archbishop Cranmer, the one who wrote the Book of Common Prayer that we use each Sunday and day by day in our prayers. Archbishop Cranmer said of this gospel lesson that Jesus is presented to us coming into the temple, not simply the temple of Jerusalem, but into the temple of the hearts of his faithful people. That as he enters into the hearts of his faithful people, he reorders their hearts and minds. He reorders their desires to set apart a holy people, to love what is truly lovable. You see then that Archbishop Cranmer emphasizing how it is that we ourselves are the temple of God. And if we are not, then we are not God's people. Our hearts are to be set aside solely for the love of Jesus, our Savior. But our epistle lesson from Paul's great letter to the Romans brings us firmly to the point of Advent, which is to prepare, for the night is far gone and the day is at hand. Owe no man anything, says Paul, but to love one another. Owe no man anything. There is a story about a king who loved chess so much that he was willing to give just about anything for it. And this crafty chessboard maker thought that he had an inside track to steal all of the money that the king owed by making him a deal that the king couldn't refuse. This crafty chessboard maker says, O king, I don't wish to have any of your treasure or any of your wealth or lands. I simply want a grain of rice for every one of the spaces on the chessboard, but only to double from one space to the next. One grain of rice on the first, this two on the second, four on the third. That's not too much to ask, is it? The king hadn't done his math lessons too well, and so he said, absolutely, a little grain of rice here and there, what could it matter? And so he agreed to the deal. And it seemed as though it was going in his favor. By the end of the first row of eight spaces on the chessboard, he only owed 128 grains of rice. But in the second row, things seemed to be getting out of hand rapidly. As the last square on the second row of eight rows, the king already owed 32,768 grains. By the 21st square, he owed over 1 million grains of rice. And by the 41st square on the chessboard, he owed the man 1 trillion grains of rice, which was more than he or all of his land could offer. Now, the con artist eased the king's worries by suggesting, well, dear king, don't worry about the rice. If you don't have enough rice, I will take payment in gold or land. But the king was no dumb bunny. He may not be good at math, but he said, hold on a second. I want to make sure that you get everything that you are owed. So I want you to take time. I want you to take time to count every last one of those grains of rice. Oh, king, no, I couldn't possibly. I'll trust you. No, no. The king said, my name, all of my honor rests upon my good name. And I won't give a payment unless you are sure that it is exactly right. The con artist, realizing that it took him roughly a second to count a grain of rice, realized that it would be a trillion seconds before he only got two-thirds of the way through. His life would be over. He would never spend a single cent. And so he agreed with the king to consider the chessboard a gift. I tell that story only to warn you, those of you who don't know already, that the power of compounding debt is destruction. This is not the time or place to spoil our Advent joy to warn you about the power of debt, but simply an aside to tell you that debt is itself slavery. It is not a sin to go into debt. I have debt, otherwise I wouldn't be able to afford to live in a house. But I want to let you know, as this story only illustrates too well, that when we owe people debt, we are their slaves. We owe them more than money. We owe them our time and our talents that we will use to earn money to pay back that debt. And in so doing, we become the property of others. Debt is a dangerous thing, and we should be very, very cautious when we put ourselves
in debt to others, not simply financially, but also that we should recognize the fact that our debts must be paid, always knowing that our greatest debt is owed to God Himself. That if we go into debt to others, we always must remember that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We do not own ourselves. God is our master. And so when we confuse one master, our mortgage, with our true master, our God, then we are in deep and desperate condition. So Paul tells his beloved brothers and sisters in the Church of Rome to owe no man anything but to love one another. To love one another is the fulfillment of all of our obligation to one another, to our enemies, to our world, and to our God. To love one another is not a matter of sentiment, but it is a matter of will. It is doing what God has asked us to do. To keep the law of God is to love God. To keep the law of God as it relates to our obligation to our brothers and sisters is to love them in God's name. To love one another is to desire their greatest good. And their greatest good above all others is that they know and love Jesus, our Savior. So Paul says, owe no man anything but to love one another, because now the time has come. The time has come to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of the King. If you knew today that you were going to host the bishop of the diocese, or perhaps the King of England, in your own home tomorrow, what would you do today? That is what the season of Advent invites you to consider. If you knew that a great and powerful person, one who demanded all of your devotion, were to arrive tomorrow in your own home, how would you prepare? Perhaps you might vacuum and wash the dishes. Perhaps you might put on clean clothes. Perhaps you might scrub the grout. I don't know. Perhaps you have perfect grout. But the fact is that each of us know how it is that we put off and put off and put off the thing that we don't want to do. We are easily distracted and easily slothful. Advent is a clarion call to each one of us that we must prepare for the coming of the King. One of the greatest of the saints, St. Augustine, was converted when he read this passage that we have appointed each Advent one. Tolle lege, cried the angel. Take up and read. Take up and read. And when he did, he turned to this passage. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You see, my friends, it's not simply the broad evangelical church that wants you to be converted. Be converted. Hear me. Hear Father Heaton. Be converted. Don't do those things anymore. Jesus calls you to be ready, for when he comes, he will see us. He will embrace us, but he will know us for who we are. We should be ready at any time. And so the church calls us now. Be converted. Confess your sins. Increase in faith. Ask God's forgiveness. Repent and put on your party clothes for the coming of the King. This is the time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. My dear friends, this is the time and this is the place that we join in celebration of the coming of the King. We eat the festal meal as he has offered it to us on the altar. Happy Advent, dear friends. Amen.
You've been listening to For All the Saints, a ministry of All Saints Church. If you would like to learn more about the Christian life in the Anglican way, we invite you to join our community each Sunday at 9 a.m. in the Marie McDonald Chapel on the campus of New Covenant Schools, located at 122 Fleetwood Drive in Lynchburg. Or you may visit us on the web at www.allsaintschurchlynchburg.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeremy Rowe.